It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Next, we'll report on two groups that call themselves the Taliban. One is gaining in Afghanistan, the other in Pakistan, which has led to calls in both cases for negotiations. Pakistan's conflict has come to be symbolized by the struggle for a single gorgeous valley. Many civilians have fled the Swat Valley. Now, an elderly cleric named Sufi Muhammad is brokering a peace deal between the government and the Taliban. He's in a delicate position because the Taliban in the region are controlled by his son-in-law. An agreement may be close, and violence is way down, though many issues remain unclear. NPR's Ann Garrels reports.
Farah Riayat, a human rights activist, nurses her baby son as she flips through an album. She points out pictures of the home she hasn't seen in a year. It's surrounded by verdant valleys and snow-capped mountains. Until she and her family fled Swat a year ago, they'd run vocational and literacy programs for women there.
The Taliban threatened to kill us. They said we are spreading obscenity by empowering women.
This weekend, the government released 12 Taliban prisoners. Calling it a confidence-building measure, officials insist these are minor figures. But Farah and her husband, Alu Khan, see the government caving. There's nothing in the deal about the Taliban disarming.
No. Swat mein abhi Swat ki us humda se khalak chade.
There can't be lasting peace from this agreement. These people are terrorists, equipped with sophisticated weaponry. This deal just shows the Taliban is strong and the government is weak.
At the heart of the agreement is a pledge to impose Islamic law in the area. Bashir Balur, one of the government negotiators, says this means new regulations to provide speedy access to courts, something both the Taliban and the people of Swat have long demanded. He says Sharia law will be in accordance with the Constitution and should not be confused with extremist versions that allow for draconian punishments like beheadings and floggings.
We are only giving them the quick justice. This is sufficient for them. And they want that it should be covered with the name of Sharia.
Rahimullah Yousafzai, an expert on the region, is not sure this will satisfy the Taliban for long. He's also not sure the government can deliver on this promise.
Now they say that the criminal cases would be decided within 4 months. The civil cases would be decided within 6 months. There's already a provision which is enforced in the rest of the country that these cases should be decided within 6 months or 8 months. But this is never followed. That's our dilemma.
And while he believes Sufi Muhammad is negotiating in good faith, he's not sure his son-in-law is.
This young new generation is more radical, more intolerant. They just want to kill anybody who is against them.
Yousafzai doesn't see how the crisis of Swat can be solved in isolation. He says the fate of the Taliban in Swat is linked to Taliban elsewhere in Pakistan as well as Afghanistan.
That's why I'm not very satisfied that this issue has been resolved permanently. Maybe we have just found peace for a while.
The military has tried 3 times to oust the Taliban from Swat, each time unsuccessfully, leaving large numbers of civilian casualties. Negotiator Balur says this deal is worth trying.
You are fighting with the Taliban for 5 to 10 years, but we have not achieved anything.
To critics, including officials in the Obama administration, he insists this is not a surrender to the Taliban, but rather an attempt to drive a wedge between hardcore fighters and more moderate Islamists who say they want peace. He says the government has resisted Taliban demands it withdraw its forces from the region.
If we are failed, then the war is there.
These assurances ring hollow for the Riayats. For them, the key question is the status of women. There's no mention of the future of girls' education in the accord, an ominous sign. The Taliban has destroyed scores of girls' schools, and there's no money to replace them. A government official promises to provide tents, but even if schooling is again allowed, it's far from clear what girls will be permitted to study. Terrified by months of killings, hundreds of thousands of displaced people like the Riayat family are staying put, still unsure what they would encounter if they dared to return. Ann Garrels, NPR News, Islamabad.